since item 16 as item A. Okay, any other comments on the consent agenda? Councilmember Smith.
So I guess I was wondering if we're okay with the land allocation plan as presented, then maybe we don't need to discuss it. But one of the lots on there was 17034, resolution 17034. I guess if nobody else has any issues with some of those things, then I don't really care, but just to throw that out there. And the last thing is item L, resolution 17039. For issuing or requesting the city manager to issue a request for proposal for the operation fish pump service on the South Trestle. Is that RFP going to be a duplicate of what was submitted before? Were there any clarifications or rewrites that were done to help kind of hone what we were going to get in response to them?
Well, the RFP has not been drafted. We'll get authorization from, or the mandate from council first. I imagine that it'll be used, the template, you know, a lot of the questions that the Port and Harbor Commission brought forward will be used in that. We can certainly bring it before the Port and Harbor Commission again. Remember that RFP was the product of a conversation with the Port and Harbor Commission, and ask for more, ask for more specific input for just that one specific piece. And I'll make sure and put that on Port and Harbor Director's radar and Port and Harbor Commission's agenda.
Thank you. My biggest concern there is that we want to achieve what we set out to achieve. And so that means that document needs to be on point so that we get what we want and what we're looking for. So that's my biggest concern.
Thank you, Councilmember Smith. Is there anything else on the consent agenda? Not looking at the time, I still want to leave some time for public comments. We'll move on to the regular agenda. Are there any items that you'd like to discuss on the regular agenda? Councilmember Smith?
I'd just like for myself and for the listening public, for maybe the chief to explain what a lighted free-floating luminaire is. So we know what we have to do to comply with the law.
The common names for these are sky lanterns, Chinese lanterns, celebration lanterns. They're basically a paper balloon that has a lighted candle or other flame at the base of it to heat the air, provides a loft, and people release them in celebration of special events. The issue is that they're uncontrollable once they're released, and they have been known to cause wildland fire, also disruption to air traffic, vehicle traffic if they land on roads and highways. So as the state addresses the issue right now, they require the authority having jurisdiction, i.e. the fire department of the jurisdiction, to either permit or not permit the use of these devices. I don't believe it would ever be in the best interest of the city to authorize the use of these when they could, in fact, subsequently cause an accident or a fire. So a blanket prohibition would be the best way to address this rather than an individual permit by permit, which I don't think you want to accept the liability for me to permit that use.
Thank you. I just in reading the ordinance, it says, I think I would change it. I'm not very good at English, so I'd leave this to Donna. But it says, for the purposes of this chapter, fireworks, including lighted free-floating luminaires that heat from combustion or lift, excluding piloted balloons, mm-hmm. And then it goes to otherwise known as sky lanterns, Chinese lanterns, paper lanterns, and celebration lanterns. I think I'd move excluding piloted balloons to the end of that. So this is just going to be so there's no confusion. You talk about an exclusion and then you list other things, which are the lanterns and the paper, you know, so there's some, what's it really excluding? So there's no confusion there. So I think that that's something that we should probably do.
All right, thank you. If there's no other comments on the regular meeting agenda, I'd like to open it up for public comments so that we can get a few comments in before we take a little bit of a break before our regular meeting. Is that okay with the council? Okay. I'd like to go ahead and open it up at this point for public comments. You'll have 3 minutes. Please sign in and state your name.
Afternoon, Larry Sloan, city resident. Reference of land allocation, specifically resolution 17034. That's really a piece of junk land. I went over there, I was interested in it, went over there and looked at it. It's a very narrow sliver of land, and it has some issues. It has a 60-foot right-of-way on the right side, it has a 60-foot right-of-way, utility right-of-way on the south side. The state still retains the authority to expand the road. That's the road, Catchmack Drive, out to 100 feet, should they in the future desire to do so. So there'd be very little usable land for somebody to put a residence on it. And it has some additional issues with regard to the utilities that are buried that nobody knows about for sure when and where they went in, specifically with regard to telephone lines. And I understand even perhaps a sewer and water line, we're not quite sure where they cross that property at, but they do cross that property. And I don't see how the city would get any benefit by retaining it. They could consider themselves lucky, the city, I think, to find somebody who's willing to absorb that $34,000 sewer and water cost. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sloan. Welcome.
I'm Catherine George. I'm a city resident. And I just wanted to take the opportunity to thank each and every one of you for the hours that you have spent on city issues for reviewing and discussing and meeting with the public, and thank you. I think it's wonderful that you take that on. Appreciate that.
Thank you, Catherine.
Yep.
Welcome.
Kevin Hogan, city resident. I would urge you to pull the land allocation plan from the consent agenda. And the particular area that I'm interested in is the large city parcels in what was formerly the Town Square project. And the city paid a huge chunk of money for that land, and it's just sitting there. And I know that there's a restriction on the deed. I'd like to see you guys look at that, see if there's a way to get that off there and get that into the under the tax rolls. We paid full market value for a parcel of land that had a restricted title, and that's city money that we can't use now. So I'd like to see you guys see if you can do something to get that back on the tax rolls.
Thank you, Kevin. Anybody else from the public? We probably have time for maybe two more. Welcome.
John Faulkner, Land's End. I'll go quick. I was interested in selling my lot until I heard the assessed valuation went up to $80,000. But no, in all seriousness, we've been interested in purchasing that since we've been around. So it's sort of a recurring conversation. The property is unusable. It's right where that landscaped sign is, and we have permission from the city to occupy that land with the sign. So we'd love to buy it. Secondarily, I hope that you do vote to reconsider Ordinance 1707, and I think it's a perfect compromise. What Councilman Erickson has proposed to make it at the petitioner's option with respect to just zoning matters. Perfect. Perfect. Great compromise. We can revisit this in the future if it doesn't work, but I did have a lot of concerns, but I don't think I'll bring them up tonight. Talked to a few of you, and I think you know what they are, but my biggest concern is that there's nobody who's testified on this. I think two people at the last council meeting, but nobody who's actually been through the appeal process. So that concerns me. If you do nothing else, please send it back to the Planning and Zoning Commission and ask for more input from people that are building or developing. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Anyone else from the public that would like to come forward? You have 3 minutes. Okay, seeing no one coming forward, we'll take a, we'll adjourn and we'll, or sir, did you want to come forward? Okay, you're just getting ready for the break. So we'll adjourn and we'll come back together at 6 o'clock for our regular meeting. I'd like to go ahead and call to order the regular meeting of the City Council. Please stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So I'd like to welcome everyone to the regular meeting of the City of Homer, Monday, April 10th, 2017. Madam Clerk, would you like to call the roll, please?
Ms. Satterholt?
Here.
Mr. Lewis?
Present.
Mrs. Erickson?
Here.
Ms. Reynolds?
Here.
Mr. Smith?
Present.
Mr. Struzas?
Here.
You have a full council tonight, Your Honor.
Well, thank you, Madam Clerk. And the next item is agenda approval. Addition of items or removing items from the agenda will be by unanimous consent of the council per HCC 2.08.040. Is there a motion for the approval of the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Is there discussion?
Can I ask that we move pending business on page 8, number 14, the ordinance 1707 over to the after the reconsideration, if it makes it to the floor, please.
Okay. Madam Clerk, would that be appropriate to go ahead and?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Let's go ahead and if
second.
Item 14, okay, there's a second. Any discussion? Seeing none, we'll consider pending business item A moved to right after reconsideration, right before the consent agenda. And that is because Councilmember Erickson has to go to do your civic duty as our pianist or organist at the
Circus Auditions.
Circus Auditions. Yeah, so we appreciate that and we'll be accommodating. Any other items on the agenda there? For approval? Okay. Is there a motion for the approval of the agenda as amended?
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Anybody opposed? Seeing and hearing none, we'll move on to item 3, mayoral proclamations. And I've reached out to our, this is new to you, Tom, because you were out there talking to the public when I put it on your desk over there, but I'd like you, since you've been the past chamber president, if you would, please read the mayor's proclamation for the Chamber of Commerce Cleanup Day. And I think we have a couple of chamber members here present that will come up and join you as you present that to them. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Our executive director of the chamber, Karen Zach, and our visitor center manager, Jan. Oh, you have baskets.
Oh, we have baskets.
And yellow bags. That must signify something good.
It is, absolutely.
Very good. Well, it's a true honor to read to you the mayor's proclamation for Cleanup Day on Earth Day, April 22nd, 2017. So that's coming up. Whereas the Homer Chamber of Commerce and Visitor Center is sponsoring their annual community-wide cleanup day on Saturday, April 22nd, which is also Earth Day, and whereas residents and businesses are encouraged to pick up trash and recycling and dispose at the Homer Chamber parking lot at 201 Sterling Highway between 10 a.m. and 2 p.m., and whereas the Kachemak Bay Rotary Club will assist participants with the disposal in large trash and recycle bins provided by Alaska Waste in the Chamber parking lot, and the Lions Club is hosting free hot dogs and refreshments on the Chamber lawn. And whereas the following Chamber members are sponsors: Alaska Waste, America's Cuisine, Driftwood Inn, Charters and RV Park, Homer Kachemak Rotary Club, Kachemak Advocates for Recycling, better known as CARE, Kachemak Bay Lions Club, Olson Mountain Mineral Springs Water, State Farm Insurance, Spinard Builder Supply, and Still Point Lodge, that's across the bay, and whereas hundreds of yellow garbage bags provided by the Kenai Peninsula Borough will be available at the chamber and designated locations throughout the community, and whereas prizes will be awarded for the most trash collected in the categories of family, group, individual, and recyclables, and whereas residents are encouraged to clean out freezers of surplus frozen meat and fish, along with non-perishables to be collected by Rotary volunteers for the Homer Food Pantry and bring items to the Chamber parking lot. And whereas the Chamber is partnering with Cook Inlet Keeper to host an electronics recycling event, which will be held at Spinard Builder Supply parking lot located at 3978 Lake Street from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Now therefore I, Brian Zach, Mayor of Homer, do hereby proclaim Saturday, April 22nd, 2017, as the 2017 Cleanup Day on Earth Day, in witness whereof I have hereunto set my hand and caused the seal of the City of Homer, Alaska, to be affixed and dated this 10th of April, 2017, signed by our mayor and attested by our city clerk, Joe Johnson. So thank you very much, and I'm going to present this to our Homer Chamber of Commerce so that you can have that displayed prominently in commemoration of Earth Day coming up. Thank you very much. Would you like to say anything?
Yes, of course. We have posters. Cook Inlet Keeper, Carly, where are you? Yes, the executive director of Cook Inlet Keeper. We're collaborating with them, and they are going to be at Spinard Builders, their parking lot. So you can load up your car, your truck, and take your computers and all your electronic ware over there, and then come to the chamber with your recycling and your garbage and mixed paper and everything. At the chamber will be Lucinda and Dave from the food bank. They'll have freezers there. Clean out your freezer, bring your moose and fish and non-perishables, and they'll be taking it straight up to the food bank. And then the Rotary volunteers, Vivian Finley is here. Come on, stand up. She represents both Rotary volunteers who have been involved for many years, as well as CARE, Advocates for Recycling, and they're really supporting both efforts. So for you and each of the council members, and you can get this afterwards, you have your own personal bag. These are donated by Kenai Peninsula, so you'll see how kids out this whole week before collecting on the beaches. They'll be the first to deliver it to the chamber, and you each have your personal ones. I'll leave those here, and thank you all. Join us. It's a great family event.
Karen, did you have anything you wanted to say?
Yeah, over the last 2 years, we haven't had as much trash around because we had 43-degree temperature and 60-degree in April. So thank you for the community for keeping the roads and parks picked up all year long. This year, we don't have the same thing. So if you'll notice, the trash is rearing its ugly head as it melts. So we do have a lot of cleanup to do before our Shorebird Festival, which is one of our goals, is to get cleaned up to welcome our first big group and festival here for Shorebird the first weekend in May. So thank you.
Thank you very much. And Mr. Mayor, thank you for the honor in making your proclamation. Hope to all see you on the 22nd.
Thank you, Councilmember Struces, for doing a great job. In the future, feel free to say by Councilmember Struces for Mayor Brian Zach, you know, when you read something, but I appreciate that. And then Councilmember Adderhold is up next. I've asked her to read another proclamation, and I kind of prejudged my council members here as I gave out proclamations. I know their passions. So I know you're passionate about the chamber, and Councilmember Adderhold is passionate about. Go ahead.
The library. So this is a proclamation for National Library Week, which is April 9th through 15th, 2017. Whereas libraries have long served as trusted and treasured institutions, and library workers and librarians fuel efforts to better their communities, campuses, and schools. And whereas librarians are information experts, who for centuries have guided people to the best information resources, providing the expertise and services to find and evaluate information. And whereas libraries are not just what we have for people, but what we do for and with people. And whereas librarians continue to fulfill their role in leveling the playing field for all who seek information, access to technologies, and the skills needed to thrive in our digital world. And whereas libraries and librarians open a world of possibilities through innovative programming for youth, job-seeking resources, cultural programs, and promoting literacy and the power of reading. And whereas libraries support democracy by providing opportunities for civic dialogue and equitable access to a wide variety of information for all library users. And whereas libraries work to serve all community members, regardless of a person's race, color, religion, sex, national origin, age, economic status, or ability, offering services and educational resources that transform lives. And whereas libraries, librarians, library workers, and supporters across America are celebrating National Library Week, now therefore, I, on behalf of Brian Zack, Mayor of the City of Homer, do hereby proclaim April 9th through 15th, 2017, as National Library Week, and encourage all residents to visit the library this week, explore what's new at your library, and engage with your librarian. Because of you and our experts at the library, libraries transform.
Yeah, I just want to say two things. One is that today, this beautiful sunny day, in this afternoon, every single study carrel in the building was being used, every single study room, and the meeting room, and the overflow tech room. And there are more people besides, but almost every single space in that library is being used today. And that's not uncommon.
Also, we just want to take a moment to thank people who make the library function. That's the staff and Ms. Dixon, and most importantly, the members of the Library Advisory Board, and especially the Friends of the Library, who do such a great, great job. And everybody here that has a library card and enjoys themselves. Please keep continuing to support the library. Thank you, folks.
Thank you, Councilmember Adderholt, for presenting that proclamation. And next up, we have Councilmember Reynolds, who will present the proclamation for Earth Day.
I'm hoping my voice will hold up for this if I get a coughing fit. Is there anyone to receive the proclamation? Okay, I'll go ahead anyway. This is the mayor's recognition for Earth Day, which is April 22nd, 2017. Yay! Whereas humankind is currently facing tremendous global challenges affecting every community, including large-scale migration, extreme inequality and poverty, degradation of ecosystems, mass extinction of species, and global climate change. And whereas all people of this earth, no matter their race, gender, income, sexual orientation, or national origin, have a right to a healthy environment. And whereas the youth of our world are our most valuable resource and represent a source of endless creativity and potential. And whereas it is necessary for the citizens of our global community to develop green jobs and to build an innovative and equitable green economy to combat the aforementioned global challenges. And whereas expanding environmental education and climate literacy is vital to enhance awareness about the environment, inform decision making, and protect future generations. And whereas it is understood that sustainability will only be achieved by meeting the needs of the present without compromising the needs of future generations. And whereas it is more important than ever to act locally and to cooperate internationally and defend the environmental progress that has been heretofore gained. And whereas it is essential to expand and diversify the global environmental movement to achieve maximum progress. And whereas Earth Day is an annual reminder of the constant need for environmental activism, stewardship commitments, and sustainability efforts. Now, on behalf of Brian Zack, I Mayor of the City of Houma, I do hereby recognize April 22nd, 2017 as Earth Day, and I encourage all citizens, businesses, and institutions to use Earth Day to celebrate the Earth and promote environmental and climate literacy.
I couldn't have said it better myself. And I'm the president of the Kachemak Bay Conservation Society, and I've been on the board for about 30 years. So I did just pop up when you talk about Earth Day. And that same day, boy, is there stuff going on. How unusual in Homer. There's the March for Science also at 3 p.m. Yes, and 5 p.m., Kachemak Bay Conservation Society is doing an Earth Day presentation at Islands and Ocean. And so you go straight from the march to Islands and Ocean. We'll probably set up some sort of thing to get you back and forth. There's going to be free supper. And then there's a program with wonderful speakers, including Libby Roderick and Hig Higman and Seth Kantner. It's a very big deal. And then after that, at 8 o'clock, at Champagne's Palace, Salmon Fest, which is going to have a band, and I wish I knew bands. It's something like American Taxi or something. I don't know. It's some famous band. So there we have it. Yay, Earth Day. Thank you.
Hey. Well, thank you. That was perfect. Thank you for accepting on behalf of the rest of the citizens of Homer here the proclamation for Earth Day. So at this point, we'll move on to public comments upon matters already on the agenda. You'll have 3 minutes, with the exception of the public hearing items. And there are three of those. It's Ordinance 17-16 to prohibit the sale and use of free-floating luminaries as fireworks. Ordinance 17-17, contributions to candidates for municipal office. And Ordinance 17-18, appropriating funds for public information on the October ballot. So if there's an item on the agenda that's not one of those three, you have 3 minutes. Come forward now. Please sign in. Make sure your mic is on, and you'll have 3 minutes.
Hello. My name is Roberta Highland. I'm a city resident, and I am speaking to Memorandum 17-057, and this breaks my heart. And I have never been involved in anything like this in my 45 years in Alaska and my 33 years in Homer. So, a learning experience. The only silver lining I can see is that it has brought so many people together and to support. Plus, of course, it's done the opposite. And so, with that, we may disagree, but I will fight to the death your right to free speech and your opinion. And I'm a big believer in we're all in this together, and find what we have in common and build on it and put the disagreements aside, and we will do fabulous things. Thank you, everyone, especially for Donna, Dave, and Catriona, who are more or less experiencing emotional trauma right now in one way, but on the other hand, they are getting a lot of support and care. So thank you, all of City Council and Mayor and City Clerk.
Thank you, Roberta.
Hello, my name is Sarah Vance, and I've actually written out what I have to say so that I can stay on point. It is no secret there has been unrest and a growing division in our community these past couple of months. Homer is feeling beaten down and broken in regards to the current political climate. Just as the snow begins to melt away, we smell the nauseous remnants of what a hard winter left behind. It's only the promise of spring that motivates us to stay positive and look for signs of new life. We will soon see the tiny buds of trees, green grass, and the vibrant colors of lupin. Homer, much like lupin seeds, is being beaten and broken against the rocks of turmoil in order to dig deep, take root, and eventually bloom into something of beauty. We need to keep this in mind as we proceed through this season. I would like to respectfully speak to the council on behalf of the group of residents who initiated the recall. I want to address this misconception that this recall is unkind, vicious, and an act of hatred. Let me make this clear. It is not about hatred. It is about truth and accountability. The recall is not a personal attack on you three as individuals, but a matter of expecting honesty and integrity from our government officials. Regardless of what happens in the special election, you three will still be members of this community. You are still our neighbors. We will participate with you in community events, stand alongside you in the post office, and smile at you at the farmers market. We do not hate you, but we do not agree with your previous actions as council members and have used the lawful process to voice our objections. We have not picketed, rioted, or boycotted businesses. We have specifically made it a point to not speak slander against you because you are one of us, members of this wonderful community. Disagreeing with your actions does not mean we don't respect the position you hold as council members or that we hate you. It means that we care enough about our community to lawfully demand accountability, responsibility, and truth. When a person is elected to a seat of government, they are no longer held accountable to the law as an individual citizen, but as a lawmaker accountable to all constituents when acting in that position of authority. They must then take full responsibility for every decision and action they make as an elected official and proceed in truth. If they are unwilling to act in this capacity, they should either step down or allow their voters to determine their eligibility to proceed as their representative in that particular place of government. This process has undoubtedly caused a divide in our community. Neighbors are no longer feeling the love and camaraderie that once held home or dear to our hearts. It is up to us to change this narrative. Will we continue to allow these false accusations of hatred to persist? Or will we publicly address that our community has chosen to respectfully follow the law?
Thank you very much, Mrs. Vance. In the interest of being fair to everyone, I'm going to ask that we cut it there at 3 minutes, but I appreciate if you would like to read more at the end of the meeting, you'd be welcome to come back then.
All right, thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Is there anyone else from the public who would like to come forward at this time? Welcome.
Kevin Hogan, city resident. I'd like to talk to you about the fish pump proposal ordinance. When that was originally put out for RFP and the contract awarded, I was against the way that was handled because it did not go through you guys. It was straight from the Port Harbor Commission and staff to an RFP in the street, and there's no accountability there. The city had a 30-year policy of limiting the opportunity to operate a fish pump to operators who have made a leasehold improvement on city property. I have been trying to get permission to put a fish pump in since about 2013. And the reason this RFP came up is because we had a meeting with the city manager and the port director, and the city attorney showed up. And it was decided that they would have to determine whether or not it needed to go out to RFP rather than following the policy that you had for 30 years allowing leasehold improvement people that have invested in out there the opportunity to operate a fish pump. So we responded to the RFP regardless. I received this notice of intent and to award contract. It gives absolutely no guidance why our proposal was rejected. In comments from the port director, he said, well, your proposal was beyond what we were looking for because we had proposed a multi-station fish pump in order to take fish from more than one location. That was in direct response to the criteria of the RFP that to relieve congestion at the dock, being able to not continue to unload boats without having to shuffle them around. So there was no indication that we were out of compliance with the requirements of the RFP. And, you know, I think we deserve a better explanation than what we received. I knew going in what was going to happen, and I think you guys all did too. It was a predetermined decision. You might as well just put out an RFP stating that you don't want local operators to have the opportunity to develop this, you know, that you're going to give it to people that take the fish elsewhere. I mean, you guys all knew it was going to happen too, didn't you?
Thank you, Mr. Hogan. Anybody else from the public that would like to come forward at this time? You'll have 3 minutes. Welcome, Chris.
Hello. My name is Chris Holdreed. I'm a Homer City resident. And I'd like to echo what Roberta said, is that about Memorandum 17057. I was frankly shocked. So I'll say my perspective comes from serving in the Navy for quite a few years and being a public servant for many years and knowing and feeling the importance of those jobs and knowing how important it is what everybody at that table there does for our community, how you represent all the different pieces that are in our community and how important that dialogue is to our, you know, democratic process. Like, that's what it's about. I was utterly shocked at the recall that for doing your job, people, or having a difference, expressing a difference of opinion, that it would be, oh, you should now be recalled. I cannot understand the intent. I would say the only thing that's been encouraging to me in this is that, well, it's brought up a lot of dialogue, and there are a lot of people who might have been sitting by the sidelines of our democracy who are now coming to city council meetings. There's more people here than I think I've ever seen before, so that's not a bad thing. but I would just say I just wanted to come and make that statement and just hope that we can figure out ways to work through this. I would say one of the things that I appreciate as a citizen is the ability to bring something to my council members and say, hey, I would like you to put this forward. And whether or not they might agree with it, they would at least put it into the public debate, the debate that happens here with what our council's doing. So I really appreciate that opportunity, and I hope we don't lose that opportunity. And again, thank you all for your service to our community and to me. Thanks.
Thank you, Chris. Anybody else from the public would like to come forward at this time? Now would be the time. We'll have 3 minutes. Welcome, Archibald.
Good evening, council members, Mayor Zach. I'd like to speak to 17057 also. Truth and accountability. I've not found a lawful reason for the recall. It seems to be in a very gray area. You folks are just like the rest of us citizens out here. You're up here doing a volunteer job. I find that perhaps this got a little bit past the city attorney. I think that in the future, I would hope that issues like this come up, might get a little legal advice. I know that if something like this came and bit me, I'm not an attorney. You're bringing forward issues that your constituents are bringing to you. You're doing the best you can, and I applaud you for that. I will say, though, that in the future, we know how these things come into this town, and I implore you to seek some legal advice on this. That's what we're paying those people for. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Anybody else would like to come forward? Now would be the time. Okay. Welcome.
My name is Wendy Wayne. You can call me Wendy, not Mrs. I'm a Homer resident, and I would like to speak in support of the council members that brought forth Resolution 17019. They brought forth a resolution from a constituent, reworked it, presented it, and received comments and voted. That should have been the end of it. To force a recall because they don't like the amendment would discourage a councilperson from presenting any resolution. Most of the disparaging comments against the resolution are based on an early draft. Any seventh grader knows that papers go through many drafts and they are only graded on the end result. The U.S. Constitution went through many drafts between May and September of 1787. I'm disappointed that my earlier comments were not recorded in the minutes. I spoke before 6 o'clock, and they're not recorded in the minutes. I went back and listened to the transcripts because I had heard some threats and swearing towards council members. I wanted to see if that got picked up. Those were not picked up, and any comments before 6 were not in the minutes. And in the minutes, they list who's speaking for and against, and at that time when I listened, they were pretty equal amounts, so it skews what it looks like in the minutes. I just wanted to put that in there, too. I support Adderholt, I can never say your name, Reynolds and Lewis, and an opening and welcoming city council that will not be bullied. And I would hope that other council members that were not threatened with the recall would support those that are being recalled and speak out against recalling them. I just think that would show uniformity, and it could happen to anybody if it happened now. Thank you.
Thank you, Wendy. Welcome. Please sign in. State your name.
I didn't intend on speaking, but, I'm sorry. My name is Roxanne Lover, and I didn't intend on speaking tonight, but I have just one thing that I'd like to bring up, and that is that the paper and media have been producing a timeline, per se, of comments and sessions between the three council members that have been asked to be recalled. I'd like the citizens to actually take a look at the timeline more closely, because there are a lot of emails that have not been produced or published by the paper that show that there has been some mistruths told to us, things that the council members have said that are not true, and saying it during a meeting, it upsets me that you can sit there and look at your constituents and expect us to swallow that. You know, I have to say that you guys do a great job. But when you're pushing an agenda, and whoever it was produced by, I don't care. But when you're producing it, you're talking for the constituents of all of Homer, not just a certain segment of Homer. And when you're trying to, when it was said that, for instance, that they didn't know it was going to be put onto Homer Communications, that's a lie. We have emails to prove that that was a lie. It was done. It was done full in of awareness with these people. So you need to take a look at all of the emails, nothing out of context, and don't necessarily believe the media, which is obviously slanted. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, Roxanne. Anybody else from the public that would like? Welcome.
Hello again, Larry Sloan, city resident. With regard to the recall, personally, I think it was a overt attempt by the by three of these members to ideologically hijack the direction in which this city should be going with regard to policy. And although I personally resent that, I've done some deep, fairly significant research, and I can find no basis in what I consider the legal approach to be able to support the recall effort, the petition. But again, from my perspective, it's just an ideological difference that I have with the direction that they've attempted to go. And there's been some talk previous to this about right to free speech. Of course you have right to free speech, but you're not just representing yourself now, you're representing thousands of other citizens of the town. So you're going to have to, it's a good lesson in being judicious and using mature judgment and how far you can go with respect to, again, attempting to hijack the policy of the city and the direction it's going to go. So, again, I think I just leave it at that. Take it as a good lesson for the future and try to confide. I know I needn't reiterate my statement here, but I'm going to do it anyway. Just in the future, I'm sure everybody will confine their approach and their proposals and their policies to more objective, irrational direction and get less carried away on issues that are already supported anyway by law, either federal or state law, and there's no sense to attempt to reinvent the wheel with regard to these ideological issues. And we've seen the difficulty and the problems and the angst and the anger and resentment that it has caused. So again, I'll just leave it at that. A good learning lesson, and thank you very much for listening.
Thank you, Mr. Sloan. Larry, anybody else from the audience that would like to come forward at this time? You'll have 3 minutes. Be sure your microphone's turned on and state your name and sign in, please. Thank you. Welcome, Rika.
Good evening. My name is Rika Mao, Homer City resident. I want to echo Roberta, Chris, Wendy, and Robert in their support for the three council members. I don't see how any one council person can reflect such a diverse, you know, broadly. You can't reflect everybody of all your constituents because we're all of different minds, and each of you are representing different segments of the community. And the three that are being recalled do represent a big sector of the community, and they certainly reflect mine. So I don't see how they, all of you, can reflect all of us because we're pretty broad. And I just want to support them. I might argue about how the city concluded in this being pushed forward, because I would say that these three individuals are anything but unfit to serve. They are highly qualified, highly dedicated, and have put a lot of time in. And they certainly have done a great job. And I thank you. I thank you from the bottom of my heart, the core of my heart. And I just hope this doesn't further divide. I don't know if I would ever choose to run for this position, knowing how divisive and how difficult it is. And if you get condemned for bringing forward something that a constituent has asked you to, how do we move forward? I don't think this has really scared me of ever stepping forward and serving. And that's a sad thing. I'm sorry that has happened, but I don't think I would ever want to be put to this test. But thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rika.
Catherine George again. I just want to say thank you to David and Donna and Katriana. You do represent me, and I am a city resident, and I don't think that you did anything wrong. I think you did a lot of things right. Thank you.
Thank you, Catherine. Anybody else from the public that would like to come forward? You'll have 3 minutes.
Hi, my name is Sue Christensen. I'm a resident of the city, and I too support 100% our three council members that are being bullied. And I would also agree with all of the other comments of folks that have supported you. And I thank you for all the time and energy that you have given in this service, researching and reading, and all of you. I especially just salute you all, and know that we are with you 100% in this challenging situation that you're in. And I would ask each of the other council members to also support you in consensus. And that's what, this council is all about, you know, being a model for the rest of our community. I have been here 36 years, and it makes me sad. It almost makes me consider leaving this place I love so much. And I would just ask you to please stand up and listen to your inner dictates and highest good and, you know, get back to what's really important in your decision making.
Thank you, Sue. Anybody else in the public that would like to come forward? This would be the time to come forward. You'll have 3 minutes.
Hello, my name is Cassie Lauver, and as you can see, I've Facebook Living the meetings. Though the conservative voice usually is not here due to either working or childcare issues or whatever, they are watching, and I just want to let you guys know that we are very, the conservative side is very involved. We're watching your property, receiving emails. We're trying our best to communicate and be a part, even though we don't have a show here. So just want to let you know.
Thank you, Cassie. Anybody else from the public that would like to come forward?
My name is Ryan Keffer, and I'm really nervous. I don't usually get so nervous, but tonight I want to talk a little bit about history. And Mike Hawfield is sitting behind me, so I know he's going to be grading whatever I say. Hawfield and I are almost exactly the same age and went through the same kind of education, so there's kind of a little, you know, thing going on there. If you think a little bit about the origins of our country, there are some things that people really don't remember very much about how the Founding Fathers put together the Constitution. The element in that that people, we're not taught that very much in school unless you dig awfully deep. Those guys were a bunch of radicals. They were different. There had never been exactly this sort of experiment before in which you put government in the hands of the people. When you do that, you try to set things up so it's going to work, and hopefully for a long time, and the Constitution has. It's not been a clean or pleasant process most of the time. It really hasn't. We like to think that everything's worked out well, and today we're having troubles, and that's different from the rest of our history, because they never had any troubles before, and that's exactly wrong. It's been nothing but trouble, constantly. There have been a few times when things are smoothed out, and those were the rare bits. You could go through our history and pick those pieces out. So when we get to a time like today, it's not unusual for people to be fussing and feuding over things and to get really upset about them. But what we have to remember, I think about those times, and those of us with pretty gray hair remember this a good bit. Many years ago, people would go out on the streets and ask folks, they would read a piece from the Constitution and say, does this sound like good Americanism to you? And some people would say, no, we should never do something like that. Freedom of speech in some circumstances was really repulsive. And freedom of religion, that was fine if it applied to Protestants, but not Catholics, and so on. So we've always disagreed, even over our most basic founding principles. Fair enough. We have to remember how to stay within bounds. We can fight it out. You shake hands, you go to the mat, and when you get up and you leave the mat, you're now your friends again. And I appreciate that attitude. That's something we have to do, because one thing that you can predict with a certainty is that we're going to keep right on fighting one way or another. And that doesn't mean that we're broken and beaten down. It means that that's the way Americans do business. Messy, sloppy, kind of nasty sometimes, but we get along in the long run.
Thank you, Ron.